You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. I'm the senior pastor here at Island, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you here today. Happy Wednesday. Now, speaking of Pastor Darren, he is teaching tonight. You are invited. We would love to see you. Midweek Bible study. Man, oh man, I mean, it's few and far between, it seems, these days that people and other churches roll out a blackboard and have verse-by-verse Bible study in the middle of the week. We still do here, and you are invited. We'd love to see it. It's much more informal than a Sunday morning. You're allowed to, and you are encouraged to ask questions, make comments, share with everyone else what the Lord is revealing to you. So you are invited. We would love to see you Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast of this, you guys still have 30 minutes to make it to church tonight. We would love to see you. You'll be warmly greeted here Wednesdays at 6, Sundays at 10:30. This Sunday, I'm finally starting that series I said I was going to a few weeks ago, a 5-week series at Moses, the man of God. That'll start this Sunday morning at 10:30. Here on the radio, this is part two of what I call the Jesus Files. You know, it's all over the news, and I'm just sick and tired of it, of this Epstein Files. Epstein had a secret list of sinners, and I'm here to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ has his own list. And the shocking thing is, speaking for myself, is that my name was first on there. Now, what to do? What do we do if a name is on this list? Now I know. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we're justified, right? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But these words, confess and cleanse, are active present verbs. If we confess, not confessed, one, you're one and done. You confessed once back when Eisenhower was president. This is an ongoing thing. That's why this word confess, homologeo. Homologeo means to agree with God or speak the same thing. I'm going to speak what God says, and that is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's my plan? What's your plan? Your name's on the list. What's your plan? God's got a plan. We left off right in the middle of that plan on yesterday's program. Here's part two now. We're going to hear the rest of this. The Jesus Files. My name is on his list of sinners. And if left unattended, your name's on that list. And it's a lot worse than this list that this atheist fool had. What to do when my name is on Jesus's list? Here we go. This is part two of this message now. The Jesus
they proclaim,
files.
I demand to see your list of secret sinners. I demand my pound of flesh. And we demand payment. And we demand payment to be extracted from you. Now, I'm here to tell you today in this short message here today that you better be careful what you ask for. Now, turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting at the top in verse 1. Really, this is a short sermon today. But I think the Lord will get his point across in the few, maybe 20 or 25 minutes we have here this morning. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned." In other words, that we need to kill this sinner over here. I mean, she's a sinner, right? We need to kill her. She committed adultery. We know everyone that's committed adultery deserves to die, right? Boy, crickets. Now, that's just them saying that. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Then they say, "But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Verse 7. So look what it says in verse 7. So when they continued asking him, you can just hear it now, right? A million times over, right? "What sayest thou? What 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 sayest thou, Lord?" Here's a sinner over here. The Old Testament says we need to kill anyone that needs to be stoned and put to death who's committed adultery. "What sayest thou, Son of God?" So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Some translations say, "Let him cast the first stone." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Now, it's been speculated for 2,000 years what Jesus wrote on the ground with his finger. Some say he was writing down names, and I agree with that. He was writing down names, names of some of this woman's acquaintances and their names. Maybe he was writing down their names. Now, this account in the Gospel of John is a perfect example of what I see in the news today. This Epstein fellow had a secret list of sinners. And now the government has Epstein's secret list of sinners. And the whole country and beyond, remember, there's possibly a king or a prince or two that's on this secret list of sinners that he has, you see. So it's not just the United States. Everyone else around the world is out for blood. They demand to see this secret list. So I say to all of you, what the Lord Jesus said to these men, let him who was without sin shoot them first. Because now you see, since we don't stone people in the country, we just shoot them. And we've got some guns around here. There's always guns around. People are packing. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus has a list too. Jesus has his own secret list of sinners. Not just Epstein. The Lord Jesus has a list as well. And guess what? The bad news that I'm here to tell you today. And that is, your name is on the top of that list. This is why he says, let him who is without, better be careful what you ask for. Because Jesus has got his own list. And I hate to tell you here today, but your name. See, it's a supernatural list. When I look at it, you see, my name is on there first. What's my plan? My name is first on that. But you received Christ when Kennedy was president. It's still on there. What's my plan? I sin today at some point or another. What's my plan? Am I the only one in this church that still sins? Or is there anyone else with me? Then what's your plan? What's your plan? Jesus is holding out and handing out stones today. What's your plan? Now, regarding Jesus' list, the price for payment is not you not being reelected like these lovelies, or a chastisement in the New York Times. The price for being on Jesus' list, if left unattended, because praise God, he died for what your name being on that list. He doesn't have to remain that way. Right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Praise God. His blood will still obliterate your name on this list. The price for being on this list, though, Romans 6:23 tells us, the wages of sin is death. There's the cost. Your life. Your life. Now, Romans 3:23 informs us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that from the God of inclusion. Everyone demands inclusion. There you have it. All have sinned. James chapter 2, verse 10 informs us, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of all. So make no mistake about it, you're on Jesus' list. And my advice to you is don't worry too much about some dead atheist's secret list of sinners, but rather be more concerned with the Son of God's list of secret sinners. Because the penalty for being on his list and in his files is death. So what's your plan? Don't worry about Epstein. Jesus is saying, worry about yourself. Don't worry about this guy. Worry about yourself. Concentrate on yourself, not on someone else's sin. Concentrate on yourself is what he's saying. And he has said those kind of things many times. Read Luke chapter 13 sometime. They had a tower fall on some people. He said, they said to him, that's not fair. These people got hurt. What did he say? Unless if you repent, something worse is going to happen to you. Or someone else, they got forced to drink blood like Count Dracula. And they said, what about them? That's not fair. Jesus said, I'll tell you what, unless if you repent, you will like. They didn't get any sympathy from him. By the way, I love to turn these blood-demanding inquiries around and inward. When people approach me, next time someone asks you, what do you think about Epstein's secret list of sinners? They'll say, don't you realize there might be a Christian on that list? And seeing the wages of sin is death, what's your plan? Now, how's that for a conversation starter with your friends? Right? There might be a Christian on that list. They might say to you, Jimmy, at work, what's your plan? What are you going to say? So don't worry about sin in the news. Be more concerned that your name is on the only list of sinners that truly matters. Sorry, is this a tough word today? And since I guarantee your name is on it, what's your plan? May I suggest a great two-part plan for you directly from the Word of God? Because that's always what, right? We preach the Word. We let the Holy Spirit lead you to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, praise God, it doesn't stop there. God's got a plan for us. It's a two-part plan that when we do what he says, he will obliterate your name from this list. Number one. Confess your sins to God. We always try to do this during communion, right? We take time to do this, though we really should do it a lot more often than that. Confess your sins to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Catch that, that's an active word, and it's not past tense. It's also, it's not what they call in Greek something in the perfect tense. That's something that happened in the past that you still feel the effects of in the future. It's active. It's here and now. You are in a continual state of being cleansed continually as you repent. You're not, what I'm trying to say is this is not a one and done for us. You don't say to God, my bad, back when Nixon was president, and to go about living like you were. This is a constant thing. We're going to catch the word if here coming up in a minute when we get to verse 9. Actually, there's a lot of ifs here. If we say we have fellowship with him when we walk in darkness, we're lying. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So that is, if you deny that you're in the Jesus files, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, now verse 9 and the rest of the solution. But first again, notice these words here. Confess and cleanses are present active words. We continue to confess. He, on his part, will continue to cleanse. That's why it says cleanses, not he did clean. He's continuing doing this with us, to us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a conditional promise. Starts with the word if. If we, the Greek word there for confess is the word homologeo. It means to speak the same thing. That is agree with God as our spiritual condition. Agree with God, my name's on the secret list of sinners. If we refuse to admit it, then verse 10 gives us another promise. If we say, if I say that my name is not on this list, he says. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Which leads us to point number 2. So number 1 was confess, right? Confess your sins to God. Point number 2, repent of your sins. Repent is the Greek word metanoia. Noia is the Greek word for your noggin. Meta means a change, like a metabolic, you know, it's a change of a condition. Something's changing. Add it with the word mind. Change your mind. Go in the other direction. Go in the opposite direction. We call that an Air Force. They would shout it out. They'd say, about peace. Doink. I'm leaving that behind, and I'm going in the other direction. This is what repent means. Confess means to agree with God. To repent of something is to leave it behind and go in the other direction. I come up with a new definition of repent today. You ready for it? It's do something about it. Do something about it. To repent means, by golly,
I'm going to do something about it. You might still fall. Remember, the Bible says a righteous man picks himself up 7 times. You might not be perfect just by saying, but by golly, I'm going to make every effort, and the Holy Spirit's going to help me with it. To repent of something is to do something about it. Not just talk, but it's to do something about it. It's evidence now in how you live. Might not be perfect, but that's my best definition of repent. Confess means to agree with God. Repent of something is to leave it behind, go in the other direction, and do something about it. All right, now lastly, let's read Jesus' words to this woman who was caught in adultery, and let's look at his solution. Romans. John chapter 8, verse 9. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now when Jesus had raised himself up, and he saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours?" So where are all your accusers now? The Lord asks. Has no one condemned you? Verse 11, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." See, that's doing something about it, is right there. He says, "Go and sin no more." This is me doing something about it. By golly, with the strength of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to do that anymore. You've got the power now. Remember, according to the power that dwells in you, you've got the power to walk away from sin now, when you didn't have it before. That's the lie the devil doesn't want you to know, that you indeed can do all things through Jesus Christ. You can walk away from sin. To repent is, I'm going to do something about this. All depending on the level of one's stubbornness, right? Like quitting smoking. My grandmother must have smoked 90 years. She decided one day, "Oh, well, I think I'll quit. Ho-hum." And then you get people like me. You see, I had to beat the tar out of the pack of cigarettes for me to quit. I had to do the proverbial Mexican hat dance on them. And I had to make my own pipe tobacco. Right? Everyone's different. Whatever it takes for you to have this victory. Some people, it's harder to get the victory. But this I know, with the help of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, I can accomplish all things that I need to do. Right? As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We lack nothing. So he said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now he said something else to someone else at a different time. He said to someone else, he said, "Go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you." So lastly, let me say, confessing your sin is futile without first receiving Jesus Christ. He's got to be your Lord first. You can't say to God, "My bad." You have to have the blood of Jesus Christ obliterate your sins. And that is for all those that have called on the name of the Lord. That's for everyone that's received Him. We just read 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So to have your sins atoned for, you must first receive God's pardon for your sins. Because you're on Jesus' secret list of sinners. The wages of sin is death. What's your plan? What's your plan? You're on this list. What's your plan? The Bible says, here's God's plan.
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's plan. Simple. And you'll have your name blotted out and off of this list. Though, maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but let me say, confessing and cleansing are ongoing things. Yes, our name is in the book of life now. It's not on this secret list of sinners, but don't neglect these things. The conditional promise of cleansing is conditional on you confessing. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, he says, for whoever or whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's my encouragement to you today to help you navigate through the shocking news that you yourself are in the Jesus files. And I pray that you'll be found in the files of the redeemed of the Lord now, a.k.a. also known as the Book of Life. Because that's a transfer that you can receive here today. From the secret list of sinners to God's list of the Book of Life. Pretty good transfer, what do you think? I'll take it as well, count me in. While always remembering that these two actions are continual, the confessing of sin and cleansing on his part from sin. A confessing of sin, cleansing from sin. So, does anyone in the church still sin today, or am I the only one up here? With that in mind, I won't concern myself with somebody else's sins when it comes to judgment, that is, only my own. My concern of someone else's sin as a pastor is to help you get the victory in your life. So confessing continues, as does cleansing. Let me read this other verse I just saw this morning from that Warren Wiersbe devotional that so many of you guys have. I just read this verse. Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you in Jesus' name and we call upon you. Lord, we pray your word back to you. Thank you that you're ready to forgive. So we confess. We agree with you as to our sins and spiritual condition. We leave them behind. We turn and repent of our sins. And Lord, we call on your name to be saved. Lord, we pray that you would expunge our names from this list of sinners by your blood and transfer us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And it's in his name, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.